This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. You know, all too often, it's only during the Christmas season that we think about Emmanuel. We sing the songs, we read the passages that remind us that God came in the form of a man, in the form of a baby, Emmanuel, God with us. But in our everyday lives, jobs, mortgages, homework, vacation, all the stuff that life throws at us, how does God with us impact us today? For those of us who have grown up in the church, all too often the notion of God being with us is almost taken for granted. We may lose some of the mystery. We may lose some of the miracle. We may lose some of the wonder of it all. Matthew is reminding us of the prophecies of Isaiah that takes us back to a time in the garden, a time of communion, a time when the Creator and the created were found living in harmony, in perfect harmony, living life as it was really intended to be lived. Genesis 3 gives us a glimpse of what it was like when God and man were in a personal relationship together according to original design. We know all that. And we also know that eventually temptation came and sin overpowered us. The original bond, the original covenant, the original relationship was severed. What was intended to be beautiful was replaced with rules and laws and ritual and sacrifice. Oh, it didn't look the same at all. None of it looked the same. Sin had caused a great division, and it separated us from that intimate presence of God. The problem was, there was little we could do to restore the relationship. God had a plan. Isaiah saw the future. The prophecy said that there was coming a day when everything was going to change. All was going to change. A time when God was going to intervene. And it didn't depend on us, but on Him. On that day, God was going to walk among us once again. Emmanuel. God with us. That meant that He was the one who would satisfy the sin issue. That thing that held us captive, and He was going to do it once and for all. He will do what all the laws, all the rules, all the ritual, all the sacrifice couldn't satisfy. He was going to take care of it. Emmanuel, God with us. Imagine the excitement that would cause. We see and understand in hindsight. We can look back and we can analyze and we can understand what the scriptures and the prophecies were talking about. But at the time of this baby's birth, what they held on to was a forefuture, a foreseeing, a prophecy. We know that the penalty was paid on a cross just outside the gates of Jerusalem. But when you think of Emmanuel, our minds go to a baby born in a manger. That's kind of the default. So we hear the message, the ancient message, and that's what we think of is Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel. And it's at Christmas time. And certainly that was very much part of God's plan. He entered into our humanness at perhaps the lowest point possible. Not only as a baby, but one born in a filthy stable. It's romanticized here. But it was the place where animals did what animals do. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. The fullness of time. Emmanuel. On that first Christmas morning, when he drew his first human breath. But God's plan was so much bigger than Christmas. God's plan was so much bigger than that baby. It went so much further than the manger. The fullness of Emmanuel not only came at the moment he drew his first human breath, but it was at that second that he breathed his last. The fullness of Emmanuel. The fullness of God with us. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, He gave up His spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Emmanuel. We cannot separate the manger from the cross. We can never do that. And until that moment, there was a great curtain that separated the outer court of the temple from the Holy of Holies. That inner place that housed the Ark of the Covenant. That place that represented the earthly dwelling of God Himself. Once a year, on the Day of Atonement, on the Day of Yom Kippur, the high priest would bathe and go into that special white linen garments and enter into the most holy place to make atonement for the sins of the nation. For centuries, it was a contact point between man and God. And even today, if you visit the ancient city of Jerusalem, if you look at the Temple Mount, Jews will not walk on the Temple Mount for fear of desecrating the place where the Holy of Holies once stood. When Emmanuel came, when He paid the sin debt inherited from Adam, God Himself split the curtain. There was no longer a need for separation. He was Emmanuel, God with us. Truly, God with us. The future that Isaiah saw had arrived. And friends, the good news is this. It's still now. It's still now. He is God with us. He is God in a dad who is on his deathbed in a hospital room. God with us. Not only was the curtain torn, it was torn from top to bottom, from heaven to earth. The high priest was out of a job because there was an eternal high priest that had taken his place. The writer of Hebrews is talking about Emmanuel when he said, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, For we do not have a high priest that is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. No barrier. No barrier that separates us from the relationship that we once had in the garden. The perfection of the garden is now restored. Not in the trees and the plants and the rocks and the physical, but it's available in the hearts and in the lives of all who will come to Him. Emmanuel, God with us. All we have to do is accept. All we have to do is understand and accept what He's done in our lives. Accept and confess. Ask for forgiveness. And the rest is taken care of. It's a done deal. The price is paid. And it went so far beyond our capability of paying. He took it all. He took it all for us. Emmanuel. Isaiah was in effect saying that there is coming a time when God is going to intervene and He's once again going to make His dwelling place with mankind. I don't know what each are facing this Christmas season. Oh, I hear some stories. Mary Lou was telling me about the other day. She was in the grocery store. And she said there was a long lineup, and there was a man in front of her, and then there was a lady in front of him. And she was buying about 10 turkeys, probably for a Christmas dinner or something, for a church banquet or something. And anyway, it was taking a while to get her through the cash. And the man turned to Mary Lou and kind of struck up a conversation in which he was pretty bitter. And he just kind of said, "Boy, must be nice." He said, "I'm a farmer. Most of my crops are still in the field." I think he said, "I have $100,000 for the canola that is no good." And he said, our Thanksgiving dinner consisted of crackers and cheese. And he was buying a bunch of peanut butter and bread. I know God is with us. I know God is here. But how do we represent Him? How do we present to Him? To guys like that farmer. You know, we're all facing the realities of life. And it is getting tough. The Bible gives us a glimpse of that day when God is going to reveal Himself in ways that we cannot yet imagine. And there is such a great part of me that longs for that day. Truly longs for it. Right now, though, we can hang on to a promise. Hang on to a promise. And it's taken from Joshua. "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give them. I will lead. I will be with. I will intersect." And when we live in that promise, it changes everything. There's nothing that we face alone. It doesn't mean that the trials of life are going to be removed, but it does mean that we have one that we can count on. Some of you are facing Christmas this year for the first time without a loved one. The emotions, the trauma is raw. I sat yesterday down at the with Connie and a few others, Connie and Ray and others, at the Light Up a Memory service. It's so hard. It's so hard to face Christmas and birthdays and anniversaries when somebody is not at the table. This much I can tell you from very personal experience. There's one who understands. There's one who holds us, who brings comfort when nothing else can. And it doesn't mean that the hurt and the pain is removed, but it does mean that we can rely on Him to hold us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. So very often I've heard people say, and you have as well, I don't know how anybody goes through this without the Lord, and I do not know how anyone goes through this without the Lord. His name is Emmanuel. He goes before us, He stands beside us, He holds us, and when we feel that we cannot carry on any longer, when we feel like our knees are going to buckle, He is there and He catches us. On the last night before Jesus faced the cross, He wanted to give the disciples assurance, a promise that they could hold on to, and this is what He said. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him. For He lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. You see, He is more than Emmanuel just at Christmas time. He's Emmanuel in every aspect of our lives, no matter what life throws at us. And if we look, if we really look, we will see that promise. I will be with you. I will never forsake you. I love you with an everlasting love. Emmanuel. He continues to abide with us through the presence of His Holy Spirit. He speaks truth and confidence into our lives if we're willing to listen. Excuse me. After the resurrection, Jesus gave us all a commission that can't be ignored. Listen to this. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Everything I have commanded you. And then He reveals Himself once again. Not the baby in a manger, but as Emmanuel. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. His name is Emmanuel. He is with us. He walks with us. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. His promise is to always be with you. I like the way the Message puts this. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes. The one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son. Generous inside and out. True from start to finish. Imagine that. Imagine that. Regardless as to what we face, He lives in the neighborhood. And He lives with us. His name is Emmanuel. Father, you know the trials. You know the tribulations, you know the hurts. Father, I pray specifically for that farmer. Oh God, I don't know who he is. I don't know all the circumstances of his life. I can't even begin to imagine the pain that he feels, the frustration and the hurt, the desperation. But Lord, I pray that you will be Emmanuel to him and to so many others this Christmas season. Father, in whatever capacity we have, in whatever blessing you have given us, Lord, help us to be you, to be your hands and feet. Because truly you are Emmanuel and you are in the neighborhood because you have placed us in the neighborhood. Father, I pray that you will bless us this Christmas season. Lord, bless us with a spirit of giving, with a spirit of generosity. Father, go before us. Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.